to the City View Church Podcast. We hope you enjoy today's message.
This morning, we are actually finishing our series, Quit Church. I'm really looking forward to our next week. We start a new series called Rebel's Guide to Religion, and it's going to be a study in the book of Jonah. We're going to be looking at the book of Jonah starting next week. Looking forward to that. Next week is also an awesome Sunday. Next Sunday, we will be celebrating 4 years as a church next Sunday. So don't miss it. We're going to be partying. There's going to be free breakfast outside, free tacos, lots of other fun stuff. So do not miss next Sunday. Invite your friends. Invite your neighbors. Invite the homeless person that you see. You're like, man, I wish I could give them food. We'll have food. Invite whoever you want because we're going to have an awesome Sunday next weekend. Right outside, there's going to be a taco cart out there. There's just going to be a lot of fun. So don't miss next Sunday. Don't miss next Sunday. Tell everybody. We'll post something on social media. So don't miss it. It's going to be a great time. We're starting our new series as well, which I have been looking forward to teaching for quite a while. But today we are finishing our series. You know, we've been looking at all these things to quit. But today I want to challenge us to be. To be the church that God is calling us to be. To be who God is calling us to be as people. You know, it's so easy to come and sit, but it's so worth it to come and be a part. To be a part of what God is doing. To be a part of his action. This morning we're going to be talking a lot about a vine. And what it is to be a vine. And, you know, I don't have any grapevines or any vines at my house yet. We haven't planted them. That's sort of the goal of what we want to do. But I have different trees. And I don't know how many of you, like, the first time you ever really got to pruning your trees and cutting them back, you sort of look and go, where do I start? What do I cut and what don't I cut? What if I cut this, will it hurt the tree or not? If I get rid of this part, will it affect this part? And I remember the first time my wife, her grandma had this ficus tree that she's grown since it was like this little baby. I don't even know how she got it. And so it's grown and grown. It outgrew the pot. And then I had a friend of mine come over and he planted it for me. And I remember the first time I had to trim it. And my wife said, don't kill my tree. It's my grandma's tree. And there's this pressure in me that says, okay, I don't want to kill this because this is grandma's tree. Grandma's passed away, and this is something we have to remember her. And I know that every time I'd go and trim it, and I would trim it back so far and so much, and I'd be cutting off pieces and all this stuff, and I'd be so worried. Like, you know, you cut off a little piece, and you're like, please don't kill this tree, a little piece. And you cut it off, and it's amazing. You cut it off, and it looks so naked when you're done. But then, as you fertilize it and you water it, it comes in so full. Every time I trim it, it comes in more and more full. It grows taller and taller. And I know its roots are probably going to destroy my house, but whatever. It's a beautiful tree. You see, the thing is, so many times in our life, we look at areas that God says, hey, I'm going to work on this. And we're like, but God, I really need this piece. I really need this piece. He says, no, you don't. No, you don't. Let me have this piece. Let me cut this piece off. Let me help you engage more in this area. Let me do more. And you're like, no, God, I need this time. I need my time on Monday nights to make sure I watch Monday Night Football. And let me tell you, I have City Group Monday nights, and Tim and I were talking, hey, what are we going to do tomorrow night? I'm like, okay, we'll have the game on. We'll do City Group real fast. Turn the game back on. All jokes, but I thought of that. Thought, how serious is that? How I was looking to see, is he as spiritual as me? And we both sort of looked at each other, waiting for one of us to say, just kidding, and we didn't. But, you know, we look at that, and we look at our time on Sundays, and we're like, okay, God, but I mean, I just want to go to church and then be done, and God, I need my time at home. It's my only day off. I have that too. It's my only day off. God, I don't want to cut this. And God says, no, but let me see. If you start doing this, and I take this off, and you actually start engaging, we can grow bigger and stronger, and we look at our finances and say, but God, don't cut that. I can't. I got to have all my money. I need it, God. I got to pay my bills. I got to pay my whatever it is, my Verizon bill, my Cox bill, my Netflix bill, my Hulu bill, my Starbucks bill, my whatever other bills we have. I mean, you know, your Spotify bill and your all these things that we have. And God says, but let me tell you, like Matt was saying, but let me tell you, if I cut this piece off, we'll grow more. But we're so scared. Man, I remember the first time I trimmed that tree, and I was so scared. But let me tell you, every time I trim it now, I'm like, how much can I cut off? Now, I don't cut off the good stuff. I don't cut it off at the trunk because I know that'll kill it. You need it. But the branches, there's some branches that are just sucking the energy out of the tree. Remember my dad told me they're called sucker branches. You don't need those. And there are other branches that are good, but then there are some that are sucking the life out of a branch. You just, if you cut that off, it can grow. You know, as we looked at this series, we talked about quit expecting everyone to be perfect. You know, a church is supposed to be full of messy people. The sad thing is so many churches are full of people that think they're perfect. And they try to find that church where it's only the comfortable. But quit expecting everybody to be perfect. We talked about quit giving your money away. Quit giving your money away. We spend our money on so many things that are not making an eternal investment. I got all these bills, God, and maybe some of you send your kids to private school, which is totally cool, but you're like, God, but I got to make sure I pay for that. I got to make sure I pay for that. I'm giving you my time, God. And God says, yeah, but quit giving your money away. I want you to grow up, not get fat. We talked about quit helping out. The idea of serving and serving with an attitude of life. We talked about quit hoping people will come. This idea of, okay, well, you know, if I just post on social media, maybe my friends will come. But actually engaging and saying, hey, you know what? I know where true life happens. And last week we talked about quit stopping by. The idea of don't make church something you come to once a month, but it's something that you are dependable and you are there because you're part of the family. You see, each part of this vine is important. Each part of the vine makes up the entire vine, and each one of us up here, in here, makes up what God is doing in this valley. So this morning, as we look at John chapter 15, and Jesus' challenge to us of him being the vine and we being the branches, I want us to look and say, okay, I want to be part of what God is doing. See, the whole heart of this series is that we would look at church in a new way, that we would see church is so much more than just Sunday mornings, but it's a life we live, that it's not just a building, but it's a people, and it's a people that God wants to use to impact his city, to change the world, that others might know that there's hope. That was the hope, and that was the purpose, and that was the goal of this series, that God desires to use each and every one of us in here today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. God, I thank you that you have a plan for our life. God, I thank you you desire to use us in ways, Lord, we never thought or imagined. And God, I ask that you'd speak to us today. Speak to us through your word. God, challenge us in what we think. Challenge us in where we are. Help us realize the things, Lord, that you want to cut off, that we might grow to be the men and women that you desire us to be. God, I ask that you bless churches all over the valley today. God, I ask that you speak to your people and through your people, God. Lord, whether people are at North Mountain or Cross Church or CCV, Lord, I ask that you'd speak to us here at City View. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 15. John chapter 15, Jesus says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. You know, as we look at life, there are always those things, those purging, those cutting off, getting rid of, that spring cleaning time where we have to go through and start evaluating. Hey, you guys ever get to that point in life where you just sort of have to step back and evaluate what you're doing? I had to do that this week. I'm on so many different leadership teams and different groups that of just whatever. I can consume my time with so many other things. And I just sit back and look, and I listed them all, and I even forgot one. There's 9 different teams that I'm a part of, 9 different leadership teams, whether it is a group of pastors that are leading other groups of pastors in the valley, or I'm on 3 of those teams that are all different levels of leadership. And I just had to step back going, okay, I can't do all of this. What do I need to cut off? So I went through that list and I cut out half of them. I had to make phone calls this week and say, hey, I'm sorry, I got to back out of this team. I love being a part of it. I love what it's doing, but I just can't. And I had to go through and look at my life and realize if I want to grow more, I've got to cut off some things that are hindering me from growing. You know, I got to get rid of those things. You see, God's plan for our lives is that we would bear much fruit. That's what it says in John 15:11. John 15:11, he says there, if you look, he says, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. You see, as Jesus is speaking here, he's coming to those last days. He doesn't have much time left with his disciples. He's going to die here soon. This is his last big speech, his last big statements to his 11 guys. Judas has left. He's got his 11 guys with him, and he's speaking life into them. And he says to them, the first thing he says here in verse 15, he says, I am the vine. You are the branches. I'm not there yet. I'm only in verses 1-4 still. I am the vine. You are the branches. Jesus says, this is me and this is you. I am the vine. I am the main source of where all life comes from. You are a branch on me. He goes, that's what you are. I am the vine. You are the branch. And my Father, God, is the vine dresser. He's the one that steps back and evaluates life. He's the one that steps back and evaluates the vine and he looks to see which parts of our lives need to be gotten rid of. And Jesus says there in verse 2, he says, he cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce. Now, the term cut off, that term in the original language could actually also mean to lift up. How many of you have grapevines at home? Anybody? Some of you, you don't. You're like, I don't know anything about a grapevine. This is not a grapevine. They're not, I couldn't find them anywhere. That's just a vine. I wanted to buy a grapevine. And so, but doing research about grapevine, you see, the thing is with the grapevine, if the branches are on the ground, they will not produce fruit. It'll hinder them from their growth. And so what a good vine dresser will do, a good vine dresser, sometimes if the branch needs to be cut off, they will cut off the branch. But sometimes what it does is the vine dresser will go and he will take that branch that, say, is on the ground and he will prop it up, clean it off, so that it will produce fruit. And Jesus, as he's speaking to his disciples, he says cut off, and yes, there are some branches that will be cut off and will be thrown into the fire. Don't be that kind of branch. But there are other branches that Jesus said need to be propped up so that growth might happen. You see, there are some areas in our life where we are so stuck in the mud. And some of us, we might be so stuck in the mud of life, just trudging through. And that's the only thing we see in any movement or any adjustment we feel like would hinder us, we feel like would affect us, any kind of unwrestling of our life. And we feel like, okay, God, no, don't do that. I'm happy where I am. I'm growing. I'm still green. God says, you're green, yes, but there's no fruit in your life. And I want there to be fruit in your life. So I want to lift you up. So some of us, God is saying, can I lift you up right now? You see, as it says here in verse 3, he says, you have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. You see, the word of God, when we first accept Jesus into our life, we say, God, I believe in you. There's a cleansing, a forgiveness of sins that happens. But then as we continue to grow in our Christian life, as we continue to read God's word, as we continue to walk this walk that God is calling us to, there's this other pruning that happens. You see, God's word, what it does to us, it's a cleansing agent. It condemns sin. You ever get uncomfortable with things you know you shouldn't do? lifestyles you shouldn't live, things you shouldn't be watching and all that. And all of a sudden you start looking and God starts, he starts like opening your eyes. You read God's word and it hurts. And there are those times in life where it hurts, and that happens to me. You see, God's word, it condemns sin. It inspires holiness. It promotes growth and it reveals the power for victory. You see, God, through his word, as it says in Ephesians 4, it says that God's word cleanses us. Cleanses us. And so Jesus says then, as he continues, he says, verse 4, remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. You see, this branch right here will die. This will die. It's dying already. It's dying in my hand because it has been severed from the vine. And Jesus says, remain in me. Be attached to me. Be close to me. Don't get far from me. Because if you do, if you get severed off, you will die. But throughout this passage, that term remain is used over and over and over again. Jesus is saying, and the New Testament says to abide. The idea is that a branch does not gain its life on its own, but it gains its life from the vine. Jesus says, remain in me, hold close to me. And then we are used. You see, when the Lord says, abide in me or remain in me, he is talking about, he's giving us a choice. You have a choice. Are you going to gain life from God? Or are you going to try to gain life on your own? How many of us are trying to gain life on our own right now? We're doing our best to do what we can, and we're like, you know what, you depend on me to get your Bible for the week. You depend on church to get your church for the week. When God says, but I want you to be the church every day. I want you to be reading my word every day. I want you to grow every day. You know, my wife's plants, she's leaving on a trip. She's going to a conference next week. And she says, honey, will you please, please, please remember to water my plants? Oh, man, if I don't water her plants, you won't see me. Bad things could happen. You see, it takes so much to make this grow. And some of us, we think, well, I'll just do my Sunday thing. And God says, yeah, but you need water every day. You need my word every day, not just Sunday. Not just Sunday. Sunday is sort of like that dinner that somebody prepares. It's Sunday. It's the idea of a Sunday is, I've shared this before. You know, I look at our week, our Sunday week, and I look at Sundays as sort of like a date. As a church, we prefer a date night, especially for you who are parents, and or for any of us. It's sort of like that date with God. Somebody else has prepared the meal. That's what I've done with the word. I've prepared that for you. Somebody's prepared the music. We've done that for you. So we've got the ambiance for you, like you're going out to dinner. And somebody else has prepared childcare for you, all those kind of things. It's been prepared. But that doesn't happen every day. You see, tomorrow morning, if I want to hear from the Lord, I'm going to have to get up and read my Bible in the morning. It's what I'm going to have to do. If I'm going to want to hear from the Lord at the evening, I'm going to have to do that again at the evening. If I want to hear from the Lord on Tuesday, it's Tuesday. I'm not going to have this. This is special. Sundays are like somebody else has prepared something, but Monday through Saturday, that's what you do to grow. That you might become who God is calling you to be. And then Jesus says in verse 5, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. You see, that's what God's hope and that's what God's plan is, that you will produce fruit, but not just fruit, but much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You see, this branch, apart from the vine, it will not survive. No matter how much I water it, no matter how much I love it and talk to it, and I say, oh, little branch, I hope you live. Oh, little branch, you're so pretty. You got purple leaves and green ones, and you've got a good branch there, and I hope you're okay. No, no matter what I do, it's going to, oh, that's a bummer. I have to cut off another piece. It's going to die. Jesus says, verse 6, anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted to you. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father, and I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. You see, those who remain, those who get their life source from Jesus, produce fruit. And not just fruit, but he says, much fruit. That fruit happens in your work. That fruit happens in your marriage. That fruit happens in relationships. That fruit happens at church. There's this fruit that happens. And we're going to talk about what does that fruit look like. Some of you are like, I'm not church. I have no clue. So I'm going to start growing fruit on me, oranges and grapes and all that kind of stuff. No, I'm going to get to that in just a little bit. Don't worry. But you see, there are some things in our life, some of us in our life, where we're just surviving. We don't have much fruit. We're just sort of surviving. We just feel like life is being sucked out of us. But you see, there's a thriving life that is available to you. To each and every one of you, there's a thriving life available that God has for you. He doesn't want you to just be sucked dry. He doesn't want you to just be surviving each and every day. He doesn't want you just to say, I'm doing okay. He wants you to have a life that's filled with joy, not happiness. Happiness comes according to circumstance. Joy comes knowing that there's hope. Joy comes knowing that there's hope. You see, these are the things that I went over the last few weeks. As we are filled with joy, as we stay close to the vine, there's things that happen when we love people, when we give joyfully, when we serve thankfully, when we invite purposefully, and when we worship faithfully. There is something that happens in our soul that produces a joy-filled life. When we do these things, when we love people, there's a joy that happens in your heart. When you give joyfully, there's a joy that happens in your heart. When you serve faithfully, something is done in your soul. When you put others first, when you put somebody else's needs before yours, when you do that, those of you who stand at our door and you think, man, what am I doing? I'm just standing at the door. Man, when you stand there and you welcome people, you are a huge part of helping us be the most welcoming, belonging place we could ever be. Don't ever think your job is not worth it. Don't ever think that. When you are an usher in here and you're like, man, what do I do? I just stand here and make sure people find a seat? There's plenty of seats. Look at this place. No, you're so much more than just helping somebody find a seat. You are a face helping somebody feel comfortable and welcome when they show up. That's what you do. That's what you do when you serve. When you invite somebody purposefully, you're inviting somebody knowing that there is something I want you to come to. You see, when you invite somebody to a party, you're not like, hey, there's going to be a lame party. We're not going to have any food or anything fun. There's nothing good, so why don't you come to my party? Well, what are you guys going to have at your party? Nothing. Nothing. You'll be lucky if I give you water. No, you don't do that. But when you invite somebody to a party, like if you come to my house for a party, we're going to make sure we have enough food. We never want to run out of food. Have you ever been to those parties that run out of food? Don't be that party. I've been to those parties. It's the worst thing ever when you're looking going, you tell the kids, only grab one. One. You see, the reason why you invite people to church is because there's more than enough Jesus to always go around. There's more than enough hope to always go around. There's more than enough salvation. There's more than enough life change. That's why we invite. We're never going to run out of grace. We're never going to run out of mercy because God is full of grace and mercy. That's what he says. That's why we invite. Why do we worship? Why do we come on Sundays? It's not just to fill a seat. It's not just to check something off on our calendar, but it's because there is this faithfulness that God says, even when you're not faithful, I am going to be faithful to you. I'm going to fill you and I'm going to energize you and I'm going to give you what you need for the week. You see, that's why we do what we do. It's like, you know, when you do these things, it's like when you fertilize a plant. Some of you are like, I don't do anything with plants. My wife is an amazing plant grower. Everything thrives in our house. It is green. She has these, succulents or something like that in her windowsill still at home. And they're going crazy. It's like one's like shooting through the roof. And she's like, I remember I grew them. They're this big. And I'm like, I do too. That thing is huge. It's going to take over our house. It might kill us. I don't definitely want to kill it. I'm going to have to put alarms on my phone. But the thing is, when you fertilize, she asked me this morning, do you have any of that fertilizer? Do we have any of that? Why? Because she wants to see her plants not just grow, but thrive. She wants to see them thrive. She wants to see them be the best they can be. Why do I encourage you guys to engage in these things? Because I want to see you live the best life you can. That's why. It's not because I'm like, oh, I need this. I don't want bodies filling a role. I want lives thriving. That's what I want. That's what I so desire, and that's what God so wants for each and every one of us. He says in verse 7 that he says, but if you remain in me and my word remains in you, you may ask anything you want, and it would be granted to you. You see, there is a life that happens in us when we remain in Jesus. There is this connection between us and God where you can ask anything. You're like, anything? So I could ask for like that new, I think my father-in-law was telling me about this Lamborghini SUV. He said it's a super amazing car. So I could just say, hey, God, I really, really want one of those. You see, if this was a grapevine like I wanted, no matter how much this grapevine would say, dear God, please help me grow oranges. God would say, I know you really want to grow oranges because oranges are cool, right? They're really cool. But you're not meant to grow oranges. That's not what you're meant for. Like, I know you really want an orange, or you really want to be a pineapple. Pineapples are great, but you can't. And that's not meant for you, but you're going to be the best grapevine ever if you let me help you. The best grapevine ever. And so as this plant, as it wants to grow, it can want to be all these other things, but God says, but I want you to be the best grapevine you can possibly be. So when when Jesus says, ask anything, and it will be given to you. And he says later on, in my name. So it has to go according to my name. It has to go according to the vine, what the vine wants. You see, no matter how much this branch wants an orange, it can't. It's not made for oranges. Oranges are nice. There's nothing wrong with oranges. But it's not an orange tree. This isn't even a grapevine. It's a yellow trumpet or something or other. It's supposed to be pretty. And then Jesus says in verse 8, when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. So what is fruit? What's he talking about when it comes to fruit? He's not literally talking about you growing oranges and apples and whatever else grows on a tree, tangerines and who knows what else. Here's what he's talking about. He's talking about a life, characteristics of a life, which are found in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. This is what happens when we stay attached to the vine. This is what happens when we start allowing God to live and grow through us. He says, produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Look at these things. Evidence of a fruit-filled life. Love, joy, say it with me, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Can you imagine if as a church we lived this way? It would change your home. It would change your community. It would change the place you work. It would change your marriage. It would change you as a husband, you as a father, you as a mom, you as a wife. It would change you as grandparents, change you as employees. It would change every area of your life if we lived these things. You see, people look at Christianity and they think so many evil things, but if Christians really lived this, if we lived this love-filled life, joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, if Christians were known for this list and not the things that we are against, if Christians were known for this, the positive, man, Christians are the most loving people I've ever met. Man, have you ever met a not faithful Christian? People, conversation, man, you know what? Christians are the most faithful I've ever been. Their marriages always succeed. Somehow it always works because they're always selfless. And they're always gentle with one another. And they're always good. And they're always kind. And somehow they're patient. I don't know how they're patient. And then we go, it's because we're attached to the vine. Because these are the characteristics of our vine. This is the life we're pulling from our vine. Because Jesus is loving. Because Jesus is joyful. Because Jesus is peaceful. Because Jesus is patient. Because Jesus is kind. Because Jesus is good. Because Jesus is faithful. Because Jesus is gentle. And because Jesus is full of self-control. You see, when we start living that, we're pulling our life from the vine. Jesus says, live this kind of life. Jesus says, I have loved you even as the Father has loved you, loved me. Remain in my love. He says, I love you just like God loves me. Stay in my love. Don't pull away from my love. There are so many distractions, so many things trying to pull us from God's love. And then Jesus says this, when you obey my commandments, verse 10, you remain in my love. Worship team, you can come on up. Just as I obeyed my Father's commandments and refrain in his love, he says, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. He says, this is my commandment, that you love each other in the same way that I have loved you. He says, there's no greater love than to lay down one's life for a friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. He says, I no longer call you slaves because a master does not confine in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so the Father will grow, will give you whatever you ask using my name. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Here's how to live a joy-filled life. Jesus says, love each other. Love each other. That's what being the church means. Loving one another. Even when it's messy, even when it's sticky, love one another. Even when it's uncomfortable, loving one another. You see, here's the mission of City View Church. We hope all people belong. That all people would belong. This happens when we love each other, when we look for opportunities to serve one another and outlove each other, people start belonging. You see, our hope is that all people would believe in Jesus. It's only in Jesus that true life can be found. It's only in that vine, wherever my vine went, way over there. It's only when that branch is attached to that vine that life happens. You see, if you're trying to pull life from anything other than Jesus, you'll never. If you try to have Jesus and, you'll never live a filled life. If you try to have Jesus and this relationship or this thing, you can never be fully alive. See, our hope is that all people would believe in Jesus, because it's only in true forgiveness, believing in who Jesus is, that we can truly live. Not only do we hope that people belong, not only do we hope that people believe, but our desire is that all people would become who God is calling them to be. That's our hope, is to help you become the husband, the wife, the man, the woman, the son, the daughter, the employee, whoever you are, that you would become that person that God so desires you to be. In these last few verses, these last 8 verses, Jesus says, love. When we remain in his love, something happens in our life. When we rely and depend on and abide in Jesus, something happens in our life. When we're not seeking anything else, when we're not seeking to be noticed by Instagram, and we're not seeking to have more money and reputation and power and influence and popularity and relationships, but when we're seeking to abide in the vine, to stay connected to the vine, to stay connected to Jesus, there's a life that happens. And Jesus says this, I have told you these things in verse 11, so that you will be filled with joy and that your joy would overflow. You see, so many of us are missing out on this joy because we're trying to find life in something else. But Jesus desires our life to be filled with joy, a joy that is overflowing. This joy happens as we remain in his love, as we love one another, as we see in verse 17 as we see in these 17 verses, we see a life that God desires, the life that God sees for his church. This is the life that God sees. a life that produces fruit, a life that holds on to Jesus, a life that loves each other, and a life filled with joy. That's the life God desires you to have. This is the life God hopes for you right here. A life that produces fruit. A life that is full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. If I forgot one, self-control. Thank you. I think I got them all. A life that holds on to Jesus because you realize there's nothing outside of Jesus. My life will not be the same. A life that loves each other and a life that is full of joy. You see, when we do this, we receive a life filled with joy. This is the church that I want us to be. This is the church that I see. This is what I see City View being, a church that is full of life, that is full of joy. Let's be this church.
Thank you for joining us today. For up-to-date series information, find us on social media at City View PHX or go to cityviewphx.com.